Attention, calling all whispering hunties. Oh, grrr.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Nijon, a self-proclaimed semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I've never watched it before.
And together we are whispering hunties. And we're back again. It's Wednesday, and we have another episode of Whispering Hunties. Now, we have not solved the problem of why there's only one host, so it's me again talking to myself. But that being said, Nick is going to be here this weekend, and we have two fantastic guests, and everything's going to be solved, hooray. But in the meantime, we have a whole US episode to dissect and dig into, and I'm super excited for that. So we're back again with Lahore Rajasthan and Gregor Matson. Everything rhymes today. I love it. We dive into Tina Burner, my questionable feelings about Olivia, and some other really good things, including COVID wisdom, how we're getting through this time, and I mean, just Rosé finally winning, and hopefully she won't have a Jan experience, but I guess we'll see about that. But honestly, I'm just so happy that that you're back, or that you came here for the first time, or that you even care. So thank you for listening to Whispering Hunties. We appreciate you. We love you. And now grab a snack, sit back, find your favorite activity. Call somebody. Tell them to listen to. Subscribe. Like. Comment. Oh, also, listen to your whispering hunties, hunty.
The camera zooms in on me.
So we get some high-proof alcohol. We get gasoline. Anything that says
what makes our lives worth living is our mortality. If there were not mortality, we wouldn't be passed.
Luckily for me, most of the beauty pageants that I've participated in don't.
I've done my fair share of blood, man.
I've always liked showing myself off naked.
Got up out of the seat, walked to me, and then slapped me.
Spontaneous conversation with people from around the world on Stranger Than Christian. Available on your favorite podcast app and at strangerthanchristian.com.
So, we're living right now in what one might call a semi-apocalyptic time. You know, we're kind of unsure, you know, like, you know, things are freezing over all over the country. People's power lines are messed up. Nothing's happening in a vacuum. There's a racial and social justice awakening. There's, you know, a pandemic. But I do think that the thing that has gotten me through this time are moments like these where I get to meet and hang out with people who I haven't seen in a while. And so there are little nuggets of wisdom somewhere out there in the ether. What would you say is your COVID wisdom?
I would say find ways to take care of your body every day. And I wasn't doing that. And now I'm taking drastic measures, which include buying a standing desk and doing a juice cleanse. But I realized, like, we're almost a year into this, right? And I just realized that my body has been doing the same thing every day, and that is sitting for so long, for so many hours. And it's not, you know, I was like, oh, I need to take care of it, and I need to. So it was a kick in my body, gave me a kick in the butt to say, take care of me better. So that's my COVID wisdom, is find daily ways to take care of your body.
I agree with that. I mean, I think a sociologist is always going to say also find ways to connect with people. I think the pandemic can be really isolating. I know I feel really lucky that I get to go into the office where I can actually see other people who aren't my partner. But, you know, use this as an excuse to reach out to those old friends, call grandma more than you normally call grandma. But set aside time in your week to connect with other people.
Oh, add a little déjeuner disco. Oh my God, I really have to come to these. They sound so good. No, but I think you're hitting the nail on the head there. This is a time. I keep saying that this is a time where you get to pick what you're putting into your life. And that includes your body, Kareem. And that also includes your company. And I've always been one of those like very empathetic people. So like it's hard for me to be around like stressed out people for long periods of time. Like I, you know, lock it on to my back, and then then my back hurts and my neck hurts and everything. No, it's not a good thing. But what I have been feeling sometimes is this wonderful release when I can bring together people who are like-minded, and we do something fun like a virtual trivia or like this podcast, and you know, actually talk about doing something for your body. I was at first a little unsure about it, but I have been to a digital drag show.
Yeah,
and it was everything.
Oh yeah, I've done a bunch of those.
They're so good.
And but also if there's like a little moment for like the crowd to dance, it like so much life. One of my previous guests, Britta Filter, has been doing this virtual drag night called Unfiltered Party, and it happens like tri-weekly, which I recently learned that bi-weekly can mean like twice a week, or it can mean every 2 weeks. So like it's the dumbest word because no one understands what you're saying, because they'll always hear what they want to hear and not what you mean. But but I've been to a couple Unfiltered parties, and you know, if you have those noise canceling headphones and the drag queens are good and then the music's good, you dance in your bedroom in your summer shorts that, you know, you probably shouldn't be wearing, and maybe an unbuttoned shirt because it's hot. And all of a sudden it's like you're back in the club, and it's like, hey, summertime fun, blah blah blah. I don't even know what it is. And it's I'm reminded that release is like a natural thing that we owe ourselves if we are so inclined to enjoy.
In my nightlife class that I'm teaching, every student has the responsibility of DJing for 10 minutes. And we all have two cameras on dance. Whatever way.
That's amazing.
But yeah, it's just, you know, it's, and I teach the class at night. I teach it on Monday nights. But it just is, I'm like, okay, I'm dancing. Like it's, I wouldn't do it otherwise, right? And it's actually really lovely to give myself a reason to dance and make up.
My students have a Spotify channel, and they curate different playlists. So I've been playing the class in with songs that end up on their playlist.
I wanna live your life. What is this?
And you go to Spotify. It's Spotify Oberlin Nightlife, and you can see all the nightlife playlists that we've curated.
I'll be there. Let's talk about the U.S. Now, this is another one of those episodes where you just kind of, like, the challenge is so big, there's no mini challenge to talk about. We don't even get that. We're just like, and here we go. And, you know, we're mourning the loss of Lala Reid. Do you know what the term Boiler Brigade was?
No.
Oh,
what is this?
I mean, I didn't either. And apparently that's what Candy said when she started the episode.
No, Bald Head Brigade.
Bald Head Brigade. I was like, is she really saying Boiler Brigade? Like, what is she saying? So I had to use closed captions because Candy's lisp is beautiful and amazing, but sometimes incomprehensible. And now you have solved every problem in my life. I get it now. So we're gonna take a quick detour, hear from Nick, and then we'll be back.
Hello, hunties. It's Nick. I'm back again to give you my United States Drag Race reactions. All right. First up, I say, okay, Shade. It's feeling much more competitive overall. The time of let's be nice all the time, sisters, is over. I knew Rosé would crush the audition, but how dare they make those girls audition for it? Oh, the narrative construction. And I'm totally fine with not having a mini challenge if it means we get an adorable chat with beloved actress Anne Hathaway. I think everyone's been too hard on her, and it was very sweet. Wow, who knew Utica wouldn't be able to spit fire? I mean, who could have guessed? Oh God, and the dancing. Girl? Jamal is a delicious man. I love a low-cut tank with a chest piece. You always gotta appreciate it when it's right there for you. RuPaul's look was great, and the judge intros on the phones was hilarious. And I actually thought Tina started really strong with the emcee. It was fitting for her, and I was worried about the old-timey warble, but she rocked it. Also, I say, yes, Rosé. We are getting her now. She's really being a winner, and she had a super strong episode narratively, and she just did great. Candy always looks lost in performing challenges, in my opinion, because she kind of looks around a lot, and even when she thinks she's selling it, maybe we're not always buying it. I thought Gottmik and Denali were great as Russian bots. They really overcame any frustrations or fears they had, and overall I thought it was a pretty great rusical. On the runways, I thought Elliot was a better version of Tina. Camp can be gorgeous and heightened. I don't know why Tina can't show us that when other girls are. I loved Rosé's mask reference, and it is not orange. Michelle needs to get her eyes checked and stop gaslighting. I actually really liked Candy's look, and I loved Denali's yellow ball python look. I thought that was really pretty stunning, even if the headpiece was a little confusing. For the lip sync, yeah, it was a strong week for the most part, but here we are. I'm not into losing three queens of color in a row. That's not a cute moment, but it's hard to disagree. This feels accurate to how the challenge went, and the runway looks on Simone and Candy weren't quite enough to save them. Damn, Candy can sell and embody a song, but Simone is a great lip syncer and delivers the message. Her record's been stronger, and she's more well-rounded, I would have to say, but Candy is unforgettable. But oh my God, a double save. How dare they? How dare she? How dare we? How dare it all go down? Gotta say I'm relieved, because I do honestly want to see more from both of them. But I guess that means the season's gonna be a little longer as it is. And for my one winner at this point, I'm gonna say Olivia this time. Can you believe it? All right, I hope you're gagged and gooped like I am. And disgust, I just love it.
I'm living for these little summaries. It's ridiculous. But okay, so we finally have a rusical, and I think it's interesting that they did a live rusical in the UK version, but in America, they don't trust the singing, so then they get to lip sync. Like, what is up with that? That was rude. But I was living for this audition moment, because I have to say that to be a good drag queen, you have to be borderline delusional. And it was delusional for yes. Denali to think that she could out-sing Rosé in an 11 o'clock number. Yes. That whole audition thing made no sense to me. I was like, as far as I know, Denali's a dancer. And I was like, I haven't been hearing these dulcet tones coming out of her mouth. So what would make you think in listening to the soundtrack, which is like, you know, when you do musical theater and it's a new track, you kind of like, you get like the lyrics and then you're listening to it. What would make you think that was you? Autotune?
Like you say, you've got to have that like that confidence that doesn't quit. Mm-hmm. And once Denali decided she was going to assert her ego and try and get that thing that she wanted, rather than seeing what she could milk out of the Russian bot that she got out of it at the end, it led her into that moment that was kind of a trap.
I know. And then also, I guess Utica was a little delusional because she was like, I'm going to take this rapping challenge. And I was like, what? What? Like, I'm a Black person and I'm afraid of rapping. You know what I mean? Like, it's not everyone's strong suit.
Except I didn't see that so much as a rapping challenge. I saw that as a geeky Gilbert and Sullivan moment. And so that's where I saw like Utica high school, Gilbert and Sullivan. I see it. And it went good. I thought she was good.
No, I think she was able to sell it, but she struggled with it because she didn't have the Gilbert and Sullivan reference. You know, like, I am the very model of a modern major general is something that you learn if you went through a Pirates of Penzance high school experience or trial by jury. But like, it's just like, you have to have that reference. And I think that, you know, drag queens are all about references, and sometimes generationally, like, things get lost. And I knew that. I knew it because I used to study classical music. And so, like, you know,
World of Wonders references are, their references are like 50 and older.
Yeah, they're dated. I hate to say it. Damn.
What, that their references are dated?
Well, a little bit, you know, like we've been running into this kind of like, this almost like friction sometimes with RuPaul, where RuPaul's like, do you know what this is? And then they say, no, I don't know what this is. And then the queen kind of laughs and it's like, yeah, they don't know what it is.
I educate the children.
No, I think we have to educate the children. I totally agree. But what I'm trying to say is that RuPaul's references are dated references. Like, not, I don't even think, I think now more people know about Joan Crawford from RuPaul's Drag Race than they do from like watching Joan Crawford do anything, you know, yeah. Or they've watched Susan Sarandon.
Liza Minnelli.
Yeah. Like, no one really no one gets Liza anymore. And it's criminal, because if you just watch Liza with a Z, the whole concert, you know, or just listen to the album, or watch her in Cabaret, or Arthur, oh my god, the London concert where it's like Liza versus Judy, and you can tell that like Judy's voice is like a little bit like wonky, and you know she's just not in as good voice, and Liza is this animal of talent just like emerging upon the scene, and you can sort of see the mom try to like overshadow her at. There's just so much to get with Liza. I mean,
contemporary reference for Liza is Arrested Development.
Oh, which is still great. I mean, that and the Single Ladies thing.
Yes, or the lamp, the Saturday Night Live lamp.
Liza, I will always love her, and I just. You know, it's like Liza Minnelli and Paula Abdul, if whatever, you know, drug-alicious didn't happen to them, the things that they would still bless us with at this point are just astronomical.
I mean, Paula is still such a gift.
You know, they're still gifts, yeah. But I still remember going to like the US Open and Liza sang America, like, America, America. She was singing that. But like the warble on the vibrato was so wide, I was like, dear God, we need to retire this live singing situation. Like, I need a lip sync, you know, or talk, like do a Cheetah Rivera where you just kind of like, you know, do boot scoot around the stage and then like sing like very softly, like, or do an Elaine Stritch, retire your singing voice and just give us you, because that's all we want. I would love to see a one woman show with Liza. She can sit down and talk about stuff and laugh and like be like, I'm sober now, if she is, I don't know. I would love that. And I think it would be such a cultural moment, but I don't know if we would be thus blessed. okay, but back to the Rusical. This was lovely. Social media is the devil. And I'm glad that we got to go into it. I think that, to be honest, Rosé was great. But Olivia is stealing the show. That mouth, those teeth. She can do choreography. She's and always yet, funny.
Her outfit, did they make her look like a grandma, or did she choose that herself?
I think it was a little both. You know what I mean? Like,
her and Elliot's outfits just were wrong.
Yeah. But also, lesson learned. You can't lip sync in these wigs that like cover your face too much unless you are like a wig choreographer, you know? Like Roxy Andrews is allowed to sing whatever wig she wants because you know that she can always take it off and make it look even better. I mean, this is not on Drag Race, but Candace Kane. Mm-hmm. Candace Kane knows how to work a wig and a lip sync. It was Brooklyn Pride, and Metropolitan hired Candace Kane for the night in his tiny little bar, and Candace knows how to place the fan in just the right moment so that she's doing the lip sync and she has that Farrah Fawcett flying in the wind. It was just so beautiful. But like it takes a real drag queen to lip sync in an unruly wig. If not, it has to be pulled back at all times, because the number of times that little pussycat wig that was on Candy's big old head, which was wrong, the drag math was off there, was just covering her eyes, her face, her you know, like it might as well have been like Harold. She was like Cousin It in a pussycat wig.
And yet she's profesh, sis.
But it was one of those things where it's like the tools that you're working with will set you that much further apart, right? So good, like point. Olivia, you can always see her face, you can always see her eyes. And oh my gosh, my voice teacher always used to say, don't close your eyes. People came to see you emote. If you close your eyes, yes, pop stars do it all the time, but if you remove yourself from the space by taking your eyes away from the performance, people are going to lose you. And Simone in those glasses was lost.
What a mistake.
Right? I was like, take off the glasses. And if we compare the two performances, her lip sync performance to her lip sync performance, because basically they were both lip sync performances. When she normally is Simone, she's bug-eyed, you know, she's like, here, she's giving you this, she's giving you that, you know, like she really owns her space. And I think that she's such a perfectionist that with the singing thing, she's like, oh, I don't sound good when I sing.
And she doesn't.
No, she is not. No, she's
and
not.
And yet it doesn't matter, because we're not necessarily there to hear a great singer. We're there to see a performer. And you just perform through it.
Yeah. And I mean, drag queens can sing all they want. And I think it's lovely. But like, not everyone's really going to watch a drag queen to sing, you know? I'd love to see a cabaret performance, you know? But I don't need them to have the best sounding voice. I need to have character in the voice. And some of the best drag singing moments that have happened on the show have been the moments that are not pretty. Like Bimini Bonboulash during the Rats Rusicle was one of the best on stage because it sounded like what it was. You know what I mean? And it's like you have to have an ear for what genre you're singing in, right? And like what it should sound like. And if you just give that energy, the auto tune and your attitude will take you far. Right, because even like the Don't Rain on My Parade moment, it wasn't that great, you know? Like she didn't really, the real 11 o'clock number was the Russian bots.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Like Rosé bamboozles herself because she forgot that like the actual last song and the actual like narrative shift in the story of this Rusical is when the Russians come and take over. So like they actually have the moment at the end, which is why Denali and Gottmik did so well. And I mean, and Gottmik is such a like secret killer. You know what I mean? Like silent but deadly.
Absolutely.
Because Gottmik just looks so good doing everything and like brings it in, but like.
And paints the best face on this whole cast.
Oh, absolutely. But also like, it's like, even if you're not a dancer, if you can at least do the splits, it like makes up for like half the dancing that
you
don't
do. Oh my God.
You know, and I don't even like splits. I hate splits. I'm so over splits. The only people who are allowed to split at this point are like Lala Ri and Elliot, you know, and like Gottmik said it best. She's like, wow, I saw two splits and I wasn't bored. I was like, yes. Oh, also Denali, when she does the boom, 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 bah, with like the figure skater finish, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if it's like it's not good to split anymore. You gotta split and like do something extra. So when Lala Ri was still like bouncing as her pelvis like hit the floor, I was like, this is new. Okay. Feeling the groove, feeling the vibe. Like, yes. But Olivia was really stealing the show. So when she was safe, I was like, it's because they have to give the win to someone else. They can't let her, because she's won two challenges now, right?
Yep.
So now it's like Simone versus Olivia, and like everybody else. Ooh, also, did you catch that Graham Norton reference?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I did.
I heard about that when the season first started, and I was like, I had no idea that Tina Burner used to date Graham Norton. That's been really held under the rug, because I've known about Tina Burner for years, but I never knew about this relationship. And then when they talked about it on the show, I thought that they did a wonderful, classy job. I liked him. He liked me. We dated. Zip. You know? And I think that that...
NDA.
Probably.
Oh, but, you know, I mean, because you know that since he's involved in the UK show, I'm sure that they're like, okay, so Graham, we're going to have your ex on. And what? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there was like something went down. Anyway, but so Olivia, but also I have to say, finally, now that Olivia's winning, her bitchy side is coming out. And I have been on this podcast giving her so much crap for being fake, because I feel like she tries to lull you in with this idea that she doesn't know what she's doing when she knows exactly what she's doing. You know, she's like, oh my God, this reminds me of musical theater camp. I'm like, no one is surprised.
See, I like that ingenue role. I like it. I think.
But she's not an ingenue.
I know, but she's going to be playing that for the next 40 years, and I'm kind of here for it.
She's got the face for it. Let her have it.
No, I'm sorry. it comes off as so fake to me, because I'm like, I want you to at least own a little bit of your talent. Because there are lots of people who are out there who are struggle bears in terms of talent and skills. And for you to walk around and like pretend like this is easy and pretend like you didn't work for it is counterintuitive to everyone that thinks that they can just throw a wig on and like end up on Drag Race and learn choreography and smile and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's something about
ingenue to the diva any day. So I'll take someone who's like, oh, little old me, you know, let me just try this and then make it seem easy. Like, I actually like it.
Okay. But it's different though, because you could be like, oh, little old me, let me just lay this. But not even like, not even a cocky way, like, I'm just going to do my best. Thank you. And then you do it and you're like, yes, girl. And she's like, thank you. You know, like, that's like owning it. But there's a difference between like, is this how I do it? Like, let me just give it a whirl. Five melismas later, you're like, oh. you're like, why did you ask the question? Like, don't waste my time here. like, is it just me on this line? Okay. You know, like, I just want you to have fun with your hard work. And I don't know. I just, because I'm one of those people where I'm like, go big or go home. So like, you know, mm-hmm. if you're saving something for later, like, no one cares. You need to like make your statement, and you need to let people know exactly who you are. If you're like trying to grow in a way that actually challenges you. Don't grow in a way that's like contrived. Cause then if now she wins, it's like, oh, so she was just good the whole time. And she was like holding back. And great.
I don't think she was ever holding back.
No, you're right. I mean, I don't think she was trying to steal attention the whole time. I just don't think that, I don't think that she's ignorant of what she's serving. And I think that there's something to be said for someone that knows who they are and that encourages people to know who they are and to own it at the same time. Like,
I think that's one way of going through life, but I also,
you like a little deception?
I hope this is contrived. I hope she like sat at home with a pen and paper and was like, this is how I'm going to do it. And because, yeah, when she smiles, you can see like she knows what she's doing. Like, that's a $100,000 smile.
That's a $100,000 smile. And it's like she knows what the light is, and she just.
Oh, ugh. God, yes. Those cheekbones, those eyes.
The eyebrows, everything. Oh, yeah. Everything about her.
She is pretty.
But I want more of it. I want her to just do it.
Shine. So I will say, I think she's doing everything. I think the show is not giving her the edit. Right? They're not telling her story yet. They're not. Yeah, I think they're hiding her from us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're holding her back.
Well, because it took a couple episodes for us to figure out that she was like Afro-Cuban. No, Afro-Puerto Rican. Or maybe they still haven't explained that and I looked it up.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard it on the show.
Yeah, I looked it up because I was like, what is her backstory? I was like trying to figure it out. She's from Jersey. Is she from, you know, like what is going on here? But yeah, anyway, and I don't think that you always have to be your color, you know what I mean? Like, or your ethnicity. I don't think that needs to be like the dominant story. But like, we know so little about Olivia besides the fact that she's way more talented than she lets on and she can play the piano. And that she does like subtly shady, naughty things in the background, like getting other people into trouble and like stealing roles by like.
We got a little bit of that from Olivia last week when she did her runway look with that sort of pedal bike pusher beads in the hair.
I want it more. I want it more. I want more authenticity. I'm sorry. I'm sniffing out some bullshit and it's my thing. But I like her when okay. I feel like she's being real. Aww. And when she's being real and she's serving me that smile, I'm like, you are America's Next Drag Superstar. But she may also be an all-star queen, you know, because she's too talented. If you're too talented, they do a Jan to you. They're like, you're wonderful. You're fabulous. You're Linda Evangelista, but you're not going to win. See you in 2 years. Who do you think could take the crown in the U.S. Drag Race version of the show?
So there's who could take the crown and there's who I want to take the crown. And okay. I want Got Mick. I am there for Got Mick's campy, faggy humor. I'm here for the beautiful painted faces. And I can't believe that her anal bead outfit was not in the top three last week.
I mean, it's top three, it's in the top 20 of runway things ever. So yeah,
it was iconic, and she serves iconic looks all the time. So mm-hmm. And the thing is, she has such personality mm-hmm. that she's not just a looks queen. She's not just a face queen.
Yeah.
Like she's the full performance. My partner makes fun of me, but I judge a winner by if I want to be friends with them. And like, if only I could be friends with Got Mick.
So Got Mick got my attention this week for her performance. And I was like, she's just a looks queen. And now I think of her as a contender, like a well-rounded contender. But I'm going to say it mainly to annoy you, Mijan, but Olivia...
I don't know if she's taking the crown. She's definitely top three. And here's the thing. I think that Olivia is America's Next Drag Superstar. I don't think that she's acting like it. And I feel like if she doesn't start acting like it, it's going to pass her by because she spent like half the show being one version of herself that's not really herself. And now we're getting to see the real Olivia. And that's who we would have fallen in love with because like, I can appreciate a cunty person, you know, like, I'm good at what I do. Let me do my thing. I think as of late, I'm very tired of like young people who are like young, innocent, ignorant, and just unaware of the world. And I'm very hungry for people who are inquisitive, pushing boundaries, and trying to bring meaning into things. And I feel like what turns me off about the ingenue is that it's this kind of like, I've seen it before.
It doesn't take responsibility for its own creation.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. That's what I mean. So
it's like what you were looking for, you just, I think what you just described is Utica. Actually.
Yeah, I mean, Utica, just such a freaking heart of gold and the creativity and very intentional, very intentional. And I think that's going to take her far. You know, she might even be Miss Congeniality at this point because it's not going to be Candy. Candy's like just all-star. I mean, she's good TV, but she's not Miss Congeniality. It's going to be Utica for being,
no,
you know, kind as anything, but also so talented.
Well, also, Utica had that moment where they're like, you don't have a mean bone in your body. And then she's like, what about her hairline? Like, she's fast. That is clever.
But at the same time, that wasn't that mean. That was just cute. She's adorable.
But she's fast. She's got something it else
was mean.
In her.
It was mean because it was true.
But that's not mean. I don't think that's mean. Nope. I don't think it's mean. I don't think, because that's what I mean. Like, shade is true, and shade is like honesty, like brutal honesty. Like when Gottmik was able to point out that like RuPaul's Drag Race has not included trans people, but in a funny way. And then make fun of, like, and then make a visual reference that I wasn't even picking up on because everyone's been calling Candy the Cookie Monster, but no one made the pug reference, like, up until that moment. And then it was so true that we're all just like,
oh my God.
You know, I mean, that's what I need. That's what I need. But also, I'm living for Tina Burner's, like, side commentary. Because when, oh, and this is what I need. I need someone to do something like directly kind of shady, but funny at the same time, but it doesn't really hurt anyone. When she's like, I'm going to vote for Denali just to fuck with Rosé. That is what I need. Oh my gosh. Well, Gregor Lahor, this has been a Saturday of many moments, joyous, happy, sassy, which is what I need in my life because it's crazy out there. But thank you so much. Your company, your wisdom, your laughs have just really, really made my day. I cannot wait to, I mean, I need to go to these, like, to sit and watch this. I mean, this, so when, can you clarify for the listeners, does biweekly mean twice a week or every 2 weeks?
Biweekly means every 2 weeks because otherwise I would die. These things on is like a big lift. But if you go to bit.ly/OberlinNightlife, mm-hmm. or if you go to Instagram, Oberlin Nightlife, you can find our program. Our next event is in a week and 4 days. It'll feature Pink Star, Austin, Texas performance artist, and pop star.
Is it okay if people like find you, stalk you on Twitter?
Yes, please.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. That is Gregor Mattson, GRGGORMATTSON on Twitter, former home of some orange giant that will not be named. and Lahor, where can people find you? What can people consume? Where, how can they find you, stalk you, consume you, celebrate?
Find me on Instagram at Lahor Vajistan, LAHOREVAGISTAN. Also on Twitter, I have music videos on YouTube and on my Instagram. So look for me, stalk me. And I have a TED Talk on YouTube called How to Be an Auntie. If you're interested, look for her.
Oh my God. I'm going to watch, take notes, and spread it with the children. All right. Well, we'll see you next week. Please stay warm. Donate to Texas. And tip your drag queen.
Whispering Hunties is not endorsed by Rolling Wonder, VH1, Icon, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and Canada's Drag Race have all names, pictures, all music, or registered trademarks and or copyrights to their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.